Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Kamal Lochan Prabhuji on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.21.11 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, I am there on the call.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and appreciation to us.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we cannot hear you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Do you want me to connect Mataji, Prabhu?
Yeah, Mataji, please connect Mataji.
Yeah, let me do it. Hare Krishna, Vardhana Mataji. I'm trying to connect Mataji. Prabhuji number has been changed. I'm trying Mataji, 1 second. Please go ahead, Prabhuji.
The Supreme Godhead, incarnations or his devotees may pose themselves as ordinary men, but they are never to be considered as such. Nor should an ordinary man, not supported by authorized statements of the Shastras and Acharyas, to be accepted as an incarnation or devotee. By the evidence of Shastras, Sanatana Goswami detected Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a direct incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although Lord Chaitanya never disclosed the fact. Therefore, generally recommended that Acharyas or Guru should not be accepted as ordinary men. Omagyat Virandasya Gyananjana Shalapaya Sekshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadameham Dadati Swapadantram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Gunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Chaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vita Shishatanvitam Sya Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminam Namaste Saraswate Devate Gauravani Prasarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Padhyapta Desha Parishya हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधौ दीनबंधौ जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत मोस्तुते सप्तकांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, the glory of Prithu Maharaj is being described here. Now, Siddha Goswami, he says that Prithu Maharaj, great devotee, Vidura, he starts speaking like this. Now, Vidura Maitreya Samvada is going on. Vidura says that the Brahmanas had enthroned the king, the Prithu Maharaj, and worshipped by the devatas, Prithu Maharaj received Vishnu's strength in his arms with which he milked the earth. Even till today, whatever we are experiencing, whatever we are enjoying from Mother Earth, whatever Madras is supplying us, is because of Prithu Maharaj. So that is the glory of Prithu Maharaj. That even till today we are getting milk from the cow, we are getting grains from that Mother Earth, we are getting fruits from Mother Earth, we are getting so many minerals. All these things are because of Prithu Maharaj. Now, if such is the case of the glory of Prithu Maharaj, who is that person who will not hear about him? Oṁ vasya kirtim na shunot abhigno. Abhignaha. That means intelligent person will hear about Prithu Maharaj. That means if somebody is not hearing about Prithu Maharaj, definitely he is not an intelligent person, he is a fool. A foolish person will not hear about Prithu Maharaj, because who is that intelligent person who will not hear means? Only a person who is foolish will not hear. So, the same bhava was been expressed by Parikshit Maharaj, 10th canto Bhagavatam. Kauttama shloka gunanuvadat, who is that person who would not hear about Krishna? Uman virajet ina pashuknat. Only a butcher will not hear about Krishna. Or one who doesn't hear about Krishna is a butcher, is a kasai. other words, Pashu also refers to soul. So one who doesn't hear about Krishna is actually committing suicide. In other words, Parikshit Maharaj, he says that one who is not interested in hearing about Krishna is actually committing suicide. It is better that person commit suicide if he is not hearing about Krishna. If he doesn't hear Bhagavatam, better he commit suicide. So this is what Parikshit Maharaj tells in 10th canto.
Even now,
the devatas, the planets, maintain their life with the desirable remnants produced by his valiant actions. Even till today, every drop of water we are drinking, every morsel of food we are eating, every thing which is available for us, our maintenance, the sustenance in our life, is because of this valiant king, Krishna Maharaj. Now he further inquires, I want to hear more about him, please tell me. And then, while talking like this, Vidura, he further says these words. Because Vidura also knew about the glories of Krishna Maharaj. Then he goes on talking about this particular glories of Krishna Maharaj. And then Maitreya, he goes on explaining. Maitreya says, Maitreya Uvacha, responding to the inquiry from Vidura, where Vidura says that Konvasya Kirtinma Shrunoti Vignaha. Who is that person who would not hear about Prithu Maharaj? Intelligent person will hear about Prithu Maharaj because Adhyapi Tanme Vadakarma Shuddham. Adhyapi, even till today, whatever we are experiencing, material comforts or facilities, it is all because of then. Maitreya, he starts speaking. That is why Maitreya Uvacha. This word starts with this thing, Maitreya. When you inquire about the Supreme Lord, the speaker will be inspired to speak about him. That is why every time in Bhagavatam there is inquiry. The inquiry is a very intelligent inquiry. Not, please tell me about Prithu Maharaj. No. The inquiry was very specific. That is, the glory of Prithu Maharaj can be experienced even till today. It is not that, okay, a king came and he did something and went away. No. The glory of Prithu Maharaj even can be felt even today because every morsel of food what we eat even today, that is actually because of Prithu Maharaj. So we are very indebted to Prithu Maharaj. So we want to hear about him. Now, Maitreya starts describing the glory of Prithu Maharaj, one of the greatest quality which can be ever present in any individual soul, that is humility. Internally it manifests as humility and externally it manifests as compassion. So humility and compassion. This humility and compassion are, one is internally it is manifest as humility. That manifests outside is compassion. So that is why these two qualities are considered to be the topmost of all the qualities. If you remove these two qualities, all the qualities becomes disqualifications. All the gunas becomes durgunas. That is why humility and compassion are compared to be the soul of all the qualities. So the whole chapter practically describes about the most important quality which any person can have, that is humility, especially if humility of Prithu Maharaj. So Maitreya starts describing Ganga Yamunayor Nadyor Antara Kshetram Avasan. So where is he staying? In the track of land between Ganga and Yamuna. You know, Ganga and Yamuna, right from Gangotri and Yamunotri, these two rivers flow. And then they pass through, Yamuna passes through Delhi, and Ganga passes through Ganganagar in the northeastern side of Delhi. So these two rivers, they flow and then meet at one place called Allahabad. So Pitu Maharaj was somewhere in this area between Yamuna and Ganga that is being described. Of course, exact place, there are 2-3 claims about it. I don't want to go into geographical controversies. But let us go to the subject. The subject here is Arabdham eva bhubuje bhogan punya jigataya. So when he saw these opulences which was manifest in his kingdom, he did not think it is because of me. The first thing what he thought was, it is because of my punya. Of course, Prithu Maharaj has no prarabdha, neither punya nor papa. He is the empowered incarnation of the Lord. So he is setting an example for all the devotees, all the people, that what you should think when you are enjoying happiness, when you are having suffering. When you are suffering the miseries, when you are enjoying the happiness, what are you supposed to think? What you are supposed to think is when you are enjoying some happiness, you should think it is actually the result of my punya which has been done in the previous life. So the moment you accept it is punya, immediately what happens is you accept that there is a adideva. There is a controlling deity who is awarding you punya. It is not because I worked hard, it is my because of my power I achieved. It is because of punya. So for any good thing to happen in your life, you need to have that punya to have that. Without punya, even though you work hard, you are not going to attain. So many a times people say, oh, I did hard work, that is why I attained. No, many people are doing hard work. Why you attained, why other person did that? It is because you had the punya to attain, other person did not have it. And the punya is awarded by the demigods by the sanction of Krishna. So, to accept it is not because of my hard work. It is only because of some punya which has been awarded to me by the demigods by the sanction of Krishna. That is why I became successful. So this makes us immediately humble and accept there is a hierarchy. There is a system created by this, by Krishna to give the awards, the reactions to our activities. Now, when there is failure, then immediately, oh, it is because of my papas. Because of a lot of sinful activities which I have done in the previous life, I don't have the karma to enjoy this particular success. Now, this is not the time for me to become successful. The time is not proper. My karmas don't have. That is why they are saying in Hindi, Samay se pehle, karma se zyada, kisi ko nahi milega. Before the yoga, means before the time, you will not get the result. And you will not get the result more than what you're destined for. So accepting the destiny, whether it is punya or papa, that is the first step in becoming humble. Otherwise, karta hamiti manyate, people start thinking that I am the doer, then it becomes vimura. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that only a vimura means a special fool, vishesha rupena muda, thinks that he is a doer, but actually we are not the doer. We are only instruments. Whenever there is success, you need to attribute it to minimum at least. Of course, we attribute it to Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy and all. But the first step is to recognize that there is karma. It is according to my karma. I am experiencing this thing, good or bad. Now, Krishna says, by the Bhagavatam, there is a very nice verse. It says, Tena kampan sumikshamanam punjanam evatma kritam vipakam. Punjanam evatma kritam vipakam. Experience, whether good karma or bad karma, which are coming in the form of happiness and misery, experience it. Come, let it come. A devotee who is not very much elevated, or elated rather, in happiness, nor very much distressed in misery. Why? Because he knows these are nothing but the results of karma. Let them come as it is. That is why Kulasekhar Alwari prays, Nastha dharmena vasunichaye naiva kamo pabhogo hoge yad bhavyan tad bhavantu bhagavat puro karma rupam एतत् प्रात्यं मम भवतं जन्म जन्मान्तरेऽपि तत्पादाम्बुरुसुता निश्चला भक्तिरस्तु. सो इन् दिस् वर्ड् स्पृशग्राल् वर्सेस् तास्ता धर्मेण वसुनिचये. ऐ एम् नाट् इण्ट्रेस्ट् इन् प्राक्टिसिङ्ग् धर्म नार् वसुनिचये. ऐ डोण्ट् वाण्ट् टु लिव् इन् वसुलोक. नैव कामोपभोगे नैदर् ऐ वाण्ट् टु एञ्जाय् इन् दिस् वर्ल्ड्. Then what about you want reduction of your bad karma and increase in good karma? You want karmication? No. Let them come. Yad davyam tad davanta bhagat pura karmana rupam. Ayetat prarthyam avumatam janma janmantarepi. I have only one prarthana, one prayer. Janma janmantarepi, that is birth after birth, let there be devotion only to Lord Sweet of Krishna. That's all. That is my only prayer. So, Vidhu Maharaj, considering the pious credits are fructifying in the form of great father, lot of people are listening to me, I became the king. He accepted the position of being the king with great humility. Janmaeshwarishuta Shrevir Yedamana Madappuma Jan Naivarya Tavidatum Vai Vakinchana Gocharam. See, being very rich is not a problem. The problem is when you consider that I am rich, Ishwarya. When somebody thinks that I am very beautiful, that is a problem. Having beauty is not a problem. Being very learned is not a problem. But to think I am learned, that is a problem. To be born in a very high class family, Brahmin family, is not a problem. But to think I am a Brahmin, there is a problem. To sing nicely is not a problem, but to think I am a singer, that is a problem. This is their ahankara. The ahankara means to identify yourself with your position, with your capability, with your experience, with your assets. Identification that I am rich, that is a problem. Having riches is not the problem. Pithu Maharaj, the Chakravarti, is the king of the entire world. But just see, he never identified with his kingship. He just accepted them, maybe because of my pious activities, they are all coming. Though actually he had no pious activities, nor impious activities, because there is no pious and impious karma in his life. He is a Supreme Lord himself. Supreme Lord and pure devotees, they have no karma, no prarabdha karma. But here Pithu Maharaj is coming and showing to all of us how a king should be. When the king attains his position of being the king, Sisana Simhasan, he should be considering it is just because of some pious activities which I have done in the past, they are fructifying now. As much as when some misery happens and success is not there, a devotee is supposed to think that it is because of my impious activities performed in the past. Generally, pious activities and impious activities culminate in the form of doing some seva, some service to the Brahmins. And by getting the blessings of elevated souls, then we get punya. We get lot of pious credits. And by offending people, what happens? We get impious credits. By doing sinful activities, we get impious credits. And they fructify in our life and they transform into pious enjoyment and suffering. Punya gives enjoyment and papa or sinful activities, papa gives suffering. So a devotee actually thinks that when I am enjoying, what is happening? My pious credits are getting depleted. So that is why he doesn't want to enjoy also. At the same time, when impious things are coming, when papa, when miseries are coming, he knows my papa is getting depleted. My impious credits are being depleted. So let it come. So a devotee is more interested in actually suffering. Because the suffering is depleting his what? His papa. And the enjoyment is depleting his punya. So anyhow, both are same. Both are binding us. Papa and punya both bind us. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Saradharman Pritajya Mamekam Sharanam Rajam Tvam Sarapapepyo Mukshishyaya Masusha. Says, one who surrenders to me, I deliver them from all sins. Here the word sin doesn't mean just sinful activities or sinful reactions. Here the word sin refers to those activities which bind. It refers to prarabdha karma, whether it is punya or papa. In one sense, both punya and papa, both are papa only. Why? Because every activity in this world, what we do, whether it is pious or impious, they are binding us to this world. So, any activity which binds us is actually sin. So, a devotee, he knows, enjoyment is also a result of my sin, suffering is also a result of my sin. Ultimately, I should not be bothered about this enjoyment and suffering in this world. I should be only bothered about performance of devotional service. That is why, whenever a devotee becomes successful, he doesn't take it too much because he considers the real success is to achieve taste in chanting the holy names. Because of my punya, sometimes I may attain the position of being in charge of some place, or I may have few followers, or I may have some better understanding than others. I may be looking good. I may be doing some service better than other person because of my karma. But devotee is not really much concerned about these successes. He is only concerned about real success is to develop taste in chanting, hearing and chanting. The real success is to attain the kripa drishti of Krishna, mercy of Krishna. And the mercy of Krishna and taste in chanting comes when there is humility. When a devotee has these four qualities, that is, he is humbler than a blade of grass. He is more tolerant than a tree. Amanina, not expecting any honor. Manadena, he gives honor to everyone, respects everyone. One who has got these four qualities, he can chant the holy name constantly. This is success. All the so-called success, which we really term it as success, is actually not success. It is only the result of one's karmic reactions. I am talking about devotees as sadhaka. I am not talking about pure devotees. I am not talking about Supreme Lord Prithu Maharaj. So sometimes somebody may become very rich, a devotee may become very rich. Of course, at that time the devotee would consider the mercy of Krishna. But what happens when a devotee becomes poor? All the opulence is lost. At that time also see it as the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes the devotee would become successful in an examination. Oh, it is mercy of Krishna, I passed the exam. What if you had failed the exam? Yes, that is also mercy of Krishna. If you are able to see mercy of Krishna in both situations, I mean experience of papa and punya, then that is actually success. The success is actually in becoming Krishna conscious. And we cannot be Krishna conscious without being humble. The first step of being humble is to accept that there is some punya and papa which are actually controlling my life. It is not my strength and my hard work. So this is what Prithu Maharaj is actually showing to the entire world. That is, though he doesn't have prarabdha karma, but still he is considering the opulence which he has attained as a result of piety which has done in the past life. In the Vedic culture, this understanding was there. Intrinsically, this understanding was there. Any time suffering would come, he says, oh, result of my papa. Any time some success would come, some opulence would come, oh, some punya has been done in the previous life. That is why we are getting this thing. So they would never attribute that it is because of me. See, it is I worked hard, so I got it. So they have never had this kind of thing. This is the nature of the Vedic culture. I still remember my grandmother, anything bad would happen to our house. In the house, she would just sit down at one place and put her hand on the head and say, my karma. is bad because of karma. And something nice would happen, they would say it is all because of some punya we have done in the past. So though we are not concerned much about punya and papa, pious and pious activities, but to be aware, it is everything what we experience in our life is a result of the prarabdha which you have done in the previous lives and experience in our prarabdha. Then there is some understanding of, yes, it is not me who is the only cause of success. There are some higher entities, devatas, who sanction good and bad according to the instruction of Krishna. So now, we go to the point where destruction of karma, which is also a subject matter which is there in the purport. Many devotees ask this question, that, Guruji, what is this? We are devotees. Why still we have to experience good and bad karma? Now the question is, what kind of devotees are we? What is the devotion which actually destroys their prarabdha karma? Only prema bhakti. Prema bhakti destroys prarabdha karma completely. But still, for a person to live in this world requires some kind of prarabdha. So some prarabdha will be left over by the will of Krishna so that the pure devotee will live in this world for some more time. Till Krishna wishes. Karmani nirdhahati kintuja bhakti bhajam. That bhakti is prema bhakti. Whereas Sri Vishnu Thakur clearly says in the verse which says in the Bhagavad Gita that Jnanagni dagda karmani samahu pandit buddha. Jnanagni dagda karmani. By the Jnanagni dagda karmani. By the fire of transcendental knowledge, by Jnanagni, what happens? Which karmas are burnt? The kuta, bija, they are burnt. But not prarabdha. Prarabdha karmas have to be experienced. There is no way. Till you attain prema bhakti. At the level of sadhana bhakti, prarabdhas are destroyed. What kind of prarabdhas are destroyed? Those prarabdhas which are an obstruction for your practice of pure devotional service are destroyed. And the prarabdha karma will not affect you, but still you have to experience it. At the level of bhava bhakti, definitely prarabdha karmas are coming, but still they become ineffective. Become insignificant because of bhava being experienced. Ultimately, it is only the prema bhakti which can destroy the prarabdha karmas completely. So when Srila Prabhupada talks about devotees not having prarabdha, he is talking about who have attained prema. So when Pandavas were suffering, Bhishma also thought like this. What is the reason of Pandavas suffering? We have not seen them doing any sinful activity. Neither they have any prarabdha. What is this? Is it because of the prarabdha karma? No. He went on talking and thinking about so many things and concluded it is only by the will of the Lord that they are suffering. So he concluded that it is the will of the Lord. I cannot speculate on what is the reason for their suffering. Even Bhishma could not understand Pandava's suffering. Actually, if you see, all the devotees of the Lord, they suffered. Prahlad Maharaj suffered. Dhruv Maharaj had to undergo so much of tapasya. Kunti Devi suffered. Pandava suffered. But can you say that these sufferings are because of prarabdha? It is because of the will of Krishna. But the same thing cannot be applied to a person with a conditioned soul is trying to do some sadhana. So it is a very complicated subject matter. That is, how far this prarabdha is actually affecting a devotee. It all depends on one's advancement in devotional service and attainment of prema. So we cannot just generalize all the devotees in one category and say there is no karma for them. Yes, we have to experience, because there are different levels of devotees attaining different levels of prema. Now, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a discussion about the gopis. When Krishna played the flute, we know in the 10th canto, 29th chapter, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. These five chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam are known as Rasa Panchadhyayi. In the Rasa Panchadhyayi, 10th canto, these five chapters, the Rasa Lila starts in the 29th chapter. In the 29th chapter of the 10th canto, Krishna, he plays the flute and calls all the gopis to Vamshivat. That is Sharat Purnima. Krishna is playing the flute. And all the gopis, they just ran, getting attracted to Krishna's feet. Nishamya Gitam Tadananga Vardhanam. Nishamya Gitam, after hearing the flute sound of Krishna, Tadananga Vardhanam, the love for Krishna, it actually was there already in the heart. It just came out. It was started pouring out like anything, and they just ran to meet Krishna. So their husbands, they tried to stop. Some gopis were not married. Their brothers and fathers tried to stop, but they could not. And sometimes it is told that but the Yoga Maya, she made a different form of Maya form of the gopis, and then these husbands and brothers and fathers caught hold of this Maya from the gopis and then brought them back to the house. But these gopis just ran. They were lola kundala. They just completely captivated by the beautiful sound of the flute of Krishna. Nishamya Gitam Tadam Tanang Tadaranga Vardhanam Krishna Grihitamana Vajastriya Krishna Grihitamanasa Vajastriya Krishna Grihitamanasa Kaha, like they are haunted. Like a haunted person would just run like crazy in this way. They are completely haunted by the sound of the flute of Krishna and the other gopis. And what happened was, most of the gopis could go and meet Krishna to the place where Krishna was playing the flute. But some gopis could not go. Antar kriha gata kvastit gopyo rabda vinirgita Krishnam tad bhavana yukta dhyur milit lochana Antar kriha gata kvastit. Some gopis could not go to meet Krishna. Antar griha, they have been caught up by their husbands and then put inside the house, they were locked. Gopyo rabda vinirgama Krishnam tad bhavanaya yukta. They were experiencing so much of viraha from Krishna. Viraha means separation from Krishna, separation in love. Dadyur milita lochana. They closed their eyes and then meditated on Krishna. They actually took Krishna within their heart, make Krishna sleep in their heart next to them and embrace Krishna. So now Sukadeva Goswami wanted to describe the heart of the gopis, what they are experiencing. But he describes in a very covered way, because the love of the gopis towards Krishna cannot be described very openly. It is only meant for those devotees who are actually having love for Krishna. The materialistic people, for them not to understand the transcendental nature of the gopis, he actually says a beautiful verse. Tusaha viraha peshta viraha yuratata adutashrita dhyana pratya chudashlesha Jivrityakshina Mangala. He says, Dussaha Preshta Viraha. Sukadeva Goswami says, Dussaha means it is intolerable. Dussaha. Preshta Viraha. Their beloved Krishna. They are experiencing the Viraha, which is intolerable. The pain in separation from Krishna is intolerable. What happened? Tivratapadutashubha. The suffering which the gopis are experiencing from separation from Krishna, dutashubha, it cleaned all the inauspiciousness. Ashubha means inauspicious, a sin. Because misery, one experiences that it actually destroys the sin. Whenever any conditioned souls like us, we experience the problem or suffering comes, should be happy because our sins are being depleted. Happiness comes, punya is being depleted. So the same formula he applies to the gopis. Externally, Sukadeva Goswami says, Dussaha Preshtaviraha Divratapa Dutashubha. The pain, the misery which they are experiencing in separation from Krishna, it actually burnt the sins. Divratapa Dutashubha. And Dhyana, within their heart, what they are doing? They are making Krishna sleep on the bed of their heart. They are embracing Krishna. And experiencing so much of happiness within the heart by embracing Krishna. So, Nivrutta Kshira Mangala. The pious reactions are being depleted by the happiness which they experienced from embracing Krishna. This is the external meaning of this verse. But gopis, do you think they have Prarabdha Karma? Neither do you think they have their Ashubha in their life, Papa in their life? Do you think they have any pious activities in their life? Pious reaction in their life. They don't have any prarabdha. They are gopis. Gopi janma means unless one has prema for Krishna, how will they have gopi janma? Now, Sukadeva Goswami speaks this verse to delude the materialistic people who think the gopis are material. And material body and material reactions, material karmic reactions are there. Deludes the materialistic people. But actually what he wants to say is, Dussa Preshta Viraha Tivratapa. The experience of Viraha from Krishna, the experience of separation from Krishna made the gopis feel so much of pain in comparison to the pain which the gopis are experiencing in separation from Krishna. The greatest of all the pain became insignificant. Kshi namam, kshi duta shubha. The greatest pain in this world, death, going to naraka. You name a pain in this world, that pain became insignificant in front of the pain which the gopis were experiencing in separation from Krishna. That means, just Sukadeva Goswami is describing the greatness of the love which the gopis had for Krishna. Those gopis who actually could not go and meet Krishna. The greatness is explained by the greatness of separation. The pain which they are experiencing in separation from Krishna. Just imagine when a small baby or a boy becomes attached to a toy. He tells the mother and father, I want the toy, I want the toy. Now, the parents don't buy the toy to the child. What does the child do? He cries like anything. Even the mother gives him nice, wonderful words. I says, I don't want. Nothing in this world he actually makes him happy except the toy. Just imagine, a small, insignificant toy can give so much of pain to a small boy, to a living entity. Just imagine the gopis. Krishna is our life. Everybody's life. We have not realized, gopis have realized. How much the pain would be in separation from Krishna? So this separation from Krishna, the pain experiencing separation from Krishna, in front of it, all the other pain in this world becomes insignificant. Now, Dhyana pratyachyuta slesha nivritta kshira mangala. Happiness which the gopis were experiencing in embracing Krishna within their heart. In front of the happiness, what happened? Kshira mangala. All the auspiciousness things, all any reactions to the pious creeds, even swarga, brahmaranda, everything became insignificant. So the gopis, they don't have any karmic reactions. But to delude the people, Sukadeva Goswami used this verse. Now Krishna. Krishna also doesn't have any karmic reaction. But still, to delude people, he does this pastime. The pastime is of what? People say, you know, Krishna in the previous life, he came and killed Vali. The same way, for his reactions, he has to face. What is the face he actually faced? Somebody shot an arrow and it touched the feet of Krishna and Krishna left the body. One who lifted Govardhan, do you think he left the body just because of touching arrow touching his feet? So it is the pastime of Krishna leaving this world. It is also to delude people. So for the sake of deluding people, Krishna does some pastime, seeing its reaction. There is a story which says Krishna was drinking while milking a cow in Dwaraka. He saw the reflection of a moon in the milk. Because when you are milking, the milk comes and the moon reflects, and he saw. That happened to be some Ganesh Chaturthi or something like that. So anybody who sees the moon on that day is actually cursed of Lanchan. Means he'll be convicted, or he'll be, somebody will say, though Krishna has not done something, he will be told that you have done this thing. That is what happened to Krishna. Just see Samantakamani. Though Krishna did not see the Samantaka jewel, everybody told, oh, only Krishna must have stolen it. So, many people say, Krishna faced karmic reaction. And Krishna does pastimes, which externally, seemingly, it can show that he is experiencing karmic reaction. But it is not. The gopis, the pure devotees also, externally sometimes they may show that they are actually facing karmic reactions. Like here Prithu Maharaj is doing so. He's actually thinking, oh, it is because of my punya I'm experiencing these all opulences. Actually, Prithu Maharaj has no punya. He's only doing just to show to the entire world that be humble. Don't be carried away with opulence. Neither don't be so much depressed by when miseries come. Punya or papa are coming and going. Let them come and go. But just think of the real misery, real suffering in this world is our separation from Krishna. Do you think there can be any suffering more than separation from Krishna? So all the suffering in this world is insignificant from the experience of separation from Krishna. Do you think anything happiness in this world can be compared to the embrace of Krishna? No, it cannot be. So bundle out all the happiness of brain. Don't care. Devotees are careless or carefree when it comes to happiness and suffering in this world. They say, let it come. And let it come and go. I'm not bothered. I'm only bothered about my Krishna consciousness. By experience of separation from when I'm going to meet Krishna. At the same time, experience of happiness of chanting the names of Krishna and hearing Bhagavatam. In this way, Prithu Maharaj is expressing his wonderful quality of humility in further verses. The greatest ornament devotee can wear is the ornament of humility, which attracts the attention of Krishna, which gives taste to the holy names. Okay. We stop here. Any questions, please, to ask.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Dandavats Prabhu. Thank you for the very, very excellent class and touching on the topic of Prarabdha Karma and explaining it very clearly. What kind of how Prarabdha Karma stops at when it stops correctly. I had one question regarding that. So you mentioned two statements. One is that Prarabdha Karma, actually, of course, it completely ends at when one attains Prema. Because for us to continue this life, first of all, we need some Prarabdha Karma that is remaining. Only then we can actually live and continue. That is one thing that you mentioned. And the second thing that you mentioned is that when we take up to devotional service, the impediments to bhakti is removed. That kind of prarabdha karma is removed. And what prarabdha karma is there, but it stops affecting us. So that is what I think you mentioned. So my question there was, if the impediment, when we say impediments to bhakti is removed, how do we account for when someone has, when someone takes up to devotional service and in the middle has some issues and, you know, stops devotional service and, you know, becomes disinterested after several years, after 20, 30 years, then what is it attributed to? Offenses, or is it attributed to some kind of papa that is playing a role? How do we account for that kind of a karma? Can you please explain, Prabhuji?
Now, if the devotee has surrendered to a spiritual master and started practicing pure devotional service,
mm-hmm.
papa and punya cannot affect him.
Mm.
The only thing which brought him back to the resultant of papa and punya is offenses. Since he goes back, he gives up devotional service.
Mm.
There is a lot of difference between papa and aparadha.
Mm.
So a devotee is not afraid of papas which has committed in the previous life, even in this life. He is only afraid of aparadha.
Mm.
Aparadha is more dangerous than papa. Papa can be nullified by performance of some atonement or experiencing it.
Mm.
But prarabdha, aparadha, because it removes the taste in chanting. It removes the, if it is very gore aparadha, then it makes a person averse to even devotees.
Mm.
Averse to Krishna, averse to the holy name is not as dangerous as a person's attitude. When you become averse to devotees, then it is definitely a result of aparadha, offense, not sin. As much as no amount of pious activities can bring a person to bhakti, no amount of papa can take a person away from bhakti.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay.
Takes a person away from bhakti is only aparadha.
Mm-hmm.
Aparadha, radha means love, apa means which stops you from attaining love.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Prabhu. I think that was very clear. And the other question I had was about Krishna, the hunter coming and touching an arrow to Krishna's feet and Krishna disappearing from this world. So also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the commentary, he doesn't talk about specifically Vali. He talks about, I don't know, Bhrigu Rishi or someone. So where do we get the story?
So many stories are there.
Okay.
This the version which I told is only a prachalita. Means many people talk about it. See, Ram, yes, Kamesh Ram is prachalita. Means
prachalita.
Famous people talk about it.
So that's how we take it. Okay, thanks. And also this another thing about that thing on Chaturthi. Even I've heard that story several times. But is there any, like, again, is that prachalita or does it come from some place, like some?
I don't know. At childhood, I used to hear this a lot. This story every Ganesh Chaturthi.
We hear that story every time during Ganesh. So that's why I wanted to ask. Okay, thank you very much, Prabhu, and thank you. I really liked the way you were describing about prarabdha karma with so much detail. I think many of us have always had some kind of confusion regarding this, but this was extremely clear and very well put. Thank you very, very much. As always, very indebted to your wonderful classes, Prabhu. They are always very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It was a very fascinating class. Thank you. I just made a couple of terms clarified. One is punya. Now, punya, my understanding is that there's, material as well as spiritual pious credits that one can perform or attain, you know. And so when a person gets some facility for material enjoyment, that is due to material pious credit, I think.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, and these material pious credits is what I want to clarify. Now, when a person, for example, you know, helps a little lady cross the street, you know, so she gets across the street safely, can that be considered a material pious credit? Or can you just elaborate on what those pious credits are that can facilitate our material enjoyment in this, you know, in the next life or this life?
Okay, then I have to talk something about the Karma Kanda. Because Karma Kanda talks about a lot of punya and papa. So the Karma Kanda is a very, very complicated subject. Let me try to simplify. In Karma Kanda, there are two aspects which results in society. Number one, the consciousness with which you do the karma, number one. Number two, for whose sake you are doing the karma. These are the two things which gives you pious credits. Now, if the consciousness is in sattva, then you will get lot of punya. Punya percentage of punya becomes more. And if the purpose for which you are doing it is for a particular demigod or a brahmana, then the result will be more. The power of the person whom you are doing for. So these two are the important considerations. Not all pious credits of the same activity give the same result. Now you took an example of an old lady. Now, if that person who is making the old lady cross the street, he is thinking or she is thinking that it is by dharma to protect the old men, old people, asaya. And then if he does it, that is sattva. Means he is actually thinking of dharma. He is not thinking of, I just had to do, I need to help her. More than the help required by the old woman, if the person is thinking, oh, it is how without my help, how is she going to cross the road? It is rajas, it is not sattva. Now, it is my dharma to help a person who is in need. That is sattva. Tamas is what just see, nobody is able to do, I will do and show to people. So the modes are functioning there. And to give you a small example, now who is that old lady being helped? Is she a pativrata, vruddha kanya? Then the piety will be more. If that old lady is a meat eater, a cow meat eater, some punya may get, but it is not so much. So it all depends on both, the internal and the external, both. So there are a lot of consideration, basically two considerations. Like you help a vaishya, means a businessman, you will not get so much of pious credit. But if you help a brahmana, then you will get more pious credit. So external consideration. Internal consideration is in which mode you are doing it. Sattva, mm-hmm. rajas, tama.
Mm-hmm.
So all these are there, very, very complicated. Karma Kanda is the most complicated, even complicated than Vedanta. Just to give you a hint about it, I can say this much.
Mm-hmm. And just now you described the mood of a person in tamas who helps the little old lady. Can you repeat what's his mentality, the one in tamas?
Yeah, the tamas means the tamasic idea. Just see, I have to take some advantage out of her or to show to people something.
When you said to show to people, that sounded like rajas. That's why I was asking. you know.
Yeah, Rajas. Rajas, Tamas. Rajas and Tamas are actually not much of difference. Rajas leads to Tamas and Tamas leads to Rajas. They are like into this thing. Generally, Krishna talks about Tamas activities and Tamas for the to show to people, to create trouble to people. By giving trouble to people, you want to do some austerity. Like some people do hunger strike. They sit in the middle of the road and do hunger strike. Why? Because everybody will suffer and then their desires will be fulfilled. Something like that.
Yeah, that one I don't understand. But anyway, yes, it's a little bit clearer now. Okay, I had one other question about the suffering of pure devotees. You know, we say, we talk about their quote-unquote suffering, but we only call it that because we are seeing it from our perspective, but in reality, they are not actually suffering. Is that correct?
Yes. It is our perspective. That is why we are saying pure devotees are suffering. Pure devotees don't suffer. And pure devotees are also at different levels. Even every sadhaka, one who is doing sadhana bhakti 24 hours a day, is also a pure devotee.
Yeah.
In that also there are different levels, saddha, sadhana, and all. And then bhava bhakti, in that also there are different levels. And prema. So we just cannot categorize all devotees in one brand them and say pure devotee. They have different levels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so just to pinpoint an example, when Srila Prabhupada was suffering seasickness, you know, I'm using like the extreme examples, like when he was experiencing seasickness on the Jaladuta, or when he was having his two heart attacks, or when Devaki, you know, was seeing her infant children smashed against, you know, the walls, you know, something as horrific as that. We would technically that was not suffering for them.
Yeah. Devaki, it is a pastime of Krishna. But with Prabhupada, though it is a kind of a pastime of Krishna, but he has come as an acharya. So he is teaching to the entire world and how you have to respond to suffering. So every act of an acharya, whether it is doing sankirtan, giving lecture, or experiencing some heart attack, whether it is cooking, whether it is distributing books, whether it is showing compassion, or whether it is showing anger, every act is an act of teaching to the general common populace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice of you. But I do want to return to Devaki for just a moment, because that's such an extreme case, you know, it's just so hard to accept from, you know, the perspective of a conditioned soul that what she went through during that time was not suffering. And I guess we can understand that it was not suffering because anything, no matter how it looks to conditioned souls, anything that brings memory of Krishna to the mind of a pure devotee is a source of ecstasy because of how much they enjoy their relationship with Krishna. Is that correct understanding?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I mean, so that pastime with Devaki is a very challenging one for me. But, yeah, so I needed to confirm that. But thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam. As usual, very nectar in class. Shri Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, again Dhanyavad Pranam.
We stop here.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
If there is no question or comment, then we can end the class. Vancha kalpatarupyesya kripal sindhulye vacha patitanam da vaishnave anant koti vaishnave. Srimad Bhagavat, all Guruji, Hare
Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class.